You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Welcome, my friends, to episode number 184 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with...
Brutal Dave.
What's up, Brutal Dave? How are you, sir?
Doing okay.
Being brutal?
Always.
All right. And we also have...
George motherfucking Tripsis in the house.
Not in the house.
Everybody is in their respective house.
That's about to say that you're in your house, I'm in my house, so we're all in...
I'm in the virtual house.
Oh, in the virtual house.
Yeah.
Very cool. Anyways,
I was trying to go for my best Cardi B impression. I don't know if anyone caught that.
I wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know either. What is it? That just started going around last week. Are you WAP?
I'm sorry?
WAP?
Careful now.
Whoa.
Carrie's
getting too woke for me. I don't know. I can't get it.
I know a little bit about something. I heard about that. I actually had to Google what it was. I had to Google what that was. I'm like, what is that? People are saying that. I'm like, oh, okay. I got it now.
I only learned about what it was because of what's his name? Telling on himself.
Who's that?
I don't know. The whole thing.
Oh.
That that conservative talking head guy telling on himself, commenting on that song. It was dumb. We don't have to talk about it.
I haven't heard this.
Funny. It's funny as shit, though.
Because he was talking about, you knew what it was, or?
We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
It's funny.
We don't want to get data explicit on our rating.
Well, he didn't, and that was actually part of the joke.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So how you guys been doing?
You know, awesome. What is this, like 6 months into, pandemic time?
Yep. About
doing fabulous.
Almost 7 months.
Feeling great.
Feeling good, man. I leave the house like once a week.
I leave the house every day.
I know you do. I go for my walk every morning. That's when I leave the house.
Gotta get that vitamin D sunshine rays.
We're going to go shopping first thing in the morning to prepare for the incoming apocalypse to the Houston area, apparently. Everybody's buying everything up already.
Oh, because we're getting double hurricanes coming our way next week?
Yeah. I prefer double rainbows, but, you know.
The double rainbows come after the double hurricane.
Okay. Very cool. So we just had our 8-year anniversary episode. Does that mean we're in our 9th year now? Or we're still in our 8th year? I'm confused now.
If we just had our anniversary, that was our 8th anniversary?
Yeah.
And so we were in our 8th year.
So.
Yeah.
So you've completed 8 years because you don't have your first anniversary until you've already been going for a year.
That's correct.
Right.
So
technically it's our 9th year.
We're in season 9 now.
Yeah.
If we're going to go by seasons. Yeah, that's how that
We are going by seasons. We're like Arrested Development this season. We're all doing it virtually. It's all green screen. Which I guess we can get into that. I started watching Arrested Development. Have you guys ever seen that show?
I love that show up until season 3. Well, after season 3, it kind of when they ever do the Netflix stuff is when it kind of
That's where I'm at now. I've seen episodes here and there, but I just never watched it, straight through. Now I'm on like episode 4 or 5 of season 4, which is the first one back to Netflix, and you can tell there were so many problems going on. Nobody's schedules were right, so there was like people were shooting on green screens at different times, and they were just compositing into a shot. Sometimes it looked really bad.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
And I don't think the season is as funny either.
Nah, it really lost the spark when basically they said, "Yeah, do whatever the fuck you want."
Well, I imagine that having actors in the same place at the same time is probably key for comedic timing and that kind of thing as well.
You would think so, wouldn't you?
Also, just the plot line was kind of meh, too, for season four.
I've never watched any of this show.
Four episodes, right?
What's that, George?
You're on like four episodes?
Yeah, four or five, something like that.
Yeah.
Then I'll complete it.
They completely re-edited so it wouldn't be out of sequence.
Yes, they did. So that's what when I was doing some research on it. Yeah, apparently they show season four originally was like about each character, and then they would.
Yeah, each character had their own episode, and it was like none of the story made any fucking sense.
Right.
And then, like, I want to say like a year later, they decided to re-edit it and put it in chronological order. But that's still not enough to save the show.
Because it's weird because they did three seasons and they got canceled. And then like 6 years later, they came back for season four. And then like 5 years later, they came back for season five.
Hey, was that that long afterwards?
Yeah, it was like a long time between those last seasons.
I didn't realize it was 5 years later. Jesus.
That's why, you know, like Michael Cera is like so much older in season four. You're like, wow, okay. Not as annoying in that show. I'll give him that much credit.
I don't know, man. George Michael's great.
He is. It's better than him. I don't know. He's sort of an annoying actor, but
it just depends on the role.
I guess so.
So, besides Arrested Development, what else have you been watching?
My laundry's done.
I was about to say, someone's dildo went off.
been watching The Laundry spin around a lot. I watched the two seasons of Master of None, Aziz Ansari, on Netflix.
I really liked season one, and I got really bored with season two.
Season two was not as funny. They definitely tried different things. There was that one episode that was like the bottle episode. Where it was just about other people in New York, and they had that deaf girl.
Is that in season two?
Season two, I believe, yeah. And I just realized that girl is... That. She's also in Jane, Silent Bob Reboot. I was like, yes, that's where she's from.
I never finished that movie.
Speaking of, real quick, was it Netflix or Amazon? I can't remember. There's a making of Jane Silent Bob Reboot on there. We watched that this week.
I think it's on Amazon because they bought the movie, if I remember correctly.
The making of is actually pretty good. It's pretty interesting. But I love the making of, you know, documentary style making of movie type things.
Yeah. Did you ever watch the making of Rise of the Skywalker?
No. Where's that?
Yeah, it's way better than the actual movie.
Where is that at?
It's on Disney Plus.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, because I refused to buy that movie. So,
speaking of Disney Plus, have you watched the new Muppet show yet? We talked about it last time.
I watched episode one, and I said, "Yeah, these people don't understand the Muppets. I'm going to stop watching." Yeah.
What's the gist of the show?
The gist of the show, they're trying to make
stupid.
It's not stupid. They're trying to make an internet style variety show with everybody.
It's like they're doing a variety show on Zoom is what it comes off as.
Okay.
The Swedish Chef stuff has been pretty funny.
I liked the Swedish Chef stuff. That was pretty funny. I liked how asshole-ish and whatever he was trying to do was great.
Yes. The last one they just had Roy Choi on, and he was pretty. It was pretty funny.
Whoever's doing the voice of Kermit,
Kermit's voice is off.
A terrible job, yeah. And how do you do a show where Kermit and Miss Piggy are not interacting with one another? It doesn't make sense.
Well, it's Miss Piggy. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but that's the crutch of every single Muppets. Is like they work together. That's the whole point.
Well, yeah, and. Miss Piggy, Kermit is always trying to get out of that relationship.
Is he though?
Yes, for sure. He might not admit it. He might not.
Diving into the psychology of the Muppets now, huh?
Well, I mean, it's obvious. Kermit, I mean, he's always, you know, she's always been more in love with him than he has with her. for sure.
Oh, okay.
You've never noticed that? Am I the only one?
That's not how I take it.
I think that it's more that she's in love with herself and him enough for both of them. I think that's really more of
wow.
She just loves too much, Carrie. That's what it is. She loves so much. And Hermit only has so many fucks to give.
That's right. That's why his voice changed. He ran out of fucks.
Yeah, that's right. I can't do with this anymore.
I have been watching a documentary on Netflix. There's this new show that started, I think, this week called High Score. It's a video game documentary.
Yeah, I wanted to check that out.
That's on my queue.
It's a little bit different, guys. It's very story-driven about people instead of really fact. Instead of like, here's what happened on a timeline leading up to here. So like the first episode is about the Atari, and they talk about the guy, and they talk about people you might not even never even heard of or know about. The guy that, you know, worked on the ET game, the whole situation was that, and a story I've never heard about him meeting, how he had to go meet with Spielberg to get the game approved and all this kind of stuff. And they gave him 5 weeks. There's a lot of interesting stories. It's more about the people behind some of the games than it really is about the games, in a way, which I sort of like that.
Isn't that what makes a compelling documentary?
It does make a compelling documentary. Instead of
remember what the name of the documentary is, there's one from, oh God, I don't know, probably almost 10 years ago at this point, but it was about indie game developers.
Yes, Indie Game the Movie. And
was that the name of it?
Yeah.
They, like, followed the guy who developed Fez and the guy who did Braid.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That was pretty good because it was kind of the same way.
Exactly.
It was more about these individuals and than it was about the games that they were making.
Yeah. Like, they talk about Pac-Man. They talk about the guy who created Pac-Man and the people that created – I never heard the story how Ms. Pac-Man was created because these guys decided they wanted to hack into Pac-Man and make it better. So – there's this whole legal battle with them, and they wound up making Ms. Pac-Man.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's very interesting. I watched a couple episodes tonight before we recorded. But the one we're watching now is about Nintendo versus Sega Genesis, like the whole console war stuff. So they're talking to the guy that got hired to bring the Genesis to America. He's like one of the main focuses, and Trip Hawkins, the guy who started EA, talking about how there's a whole thing right now about how he wanted sports games. He knew that would be the next big thing, and talking about John Madden and all that. So some of the stories are really interesting. They use a lot of like animated, like sort of like 8-bit animated stuff they create for it to fill out some of the, you know, the details. It's pretty cool. It's better than, like, I've seen plenty of timeline-based TV or, you know, YouTube series and documentaries about video games. You know, this is a little bit different.
Yeah, I didn't know, like, I hadn't watched a trailer or read a synopsis or anything. All I had seen was, like, the splash screen on Netflix, you know, when you're, like, in between shows and, like, getting a drink and they do the splash screens or whatever. They had that. I'm like, I don't know what that is, but that looks interesting.
So
I'm probably going to check that out.
You guys have seen the Toys That Make Us and all that?
Now that I know what it is, though, I'm like, is High Score really the best name for this?
No.
That doesn't seem like a great name for...
Have you guys have seen, like, the Toys That Make Us and the Movies That Make Us?
Yeah.
How those, they're documentary series about something, but they really focus on the characters and the people in it?
Yeah.
That's what this is like.
Kind of every other documentary, Gary?
No, not really.
At least the documentaries I watch, I guess.
I'm not highbrow like you. I'm sorry.
Oh, hey now. I'm going to give you some of my highbrowness in a minute.
I have watched a couple movies recently. I watched Ready or Not last week.
Oh, that's a good one.
I liked it a lot. I didn't know. Yeah. I know the premise of it. I know the main girl, she's going to be in the Bill and Ted movie coming out.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it. I thought it was good.
That chick's been in a couple of other horror movies. I think she's also in The Hunt, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, really? I haven't seen that yet.
No, I haven't seen it either, but I think she's in that one as well.
And I also watched.
She's in that movie with fucking Daniel Radcliffe. Guns Akibo. Whatever.
That's on my watch list. Guns Akibo.
Is she the babysitter? That Netflix movie.
Oh yeah, she's also in that one too.
That was really good, actually. I enjoyed that.
Oh really?
You know, I didn't watch that movie because McGee was the director on it, so I completely avoided it.
No.
I hate McGee.
I knew what it was going to be going into it, but I just felt like they handled all the twists and turns in a fun way that made it a fun watch.
Cool.
So. I might have to watch that then. I like her. She's pretty good.
She's going to play Ted's daughter.
Yes.
Or Bill. No, she plays Bill's daughter.
Daughter. Ted's daughter, that other girl. She's sort of annoying in the previews, but that's just me.
Man, you're just judgy all over the town, aren't you?
I can have my opinions. They're fine. They're mine. They're mine and mine alone.
She plays the older sister in the Netflix TV show Atypical.
I haven't seen that.
Seen that show. It's a good show. It's about a kid who's trying to get laid and he has autism.
Okay. And I've seen the trailers for the, you know, like when you're scrolling through Netflix, automatic, hey, you have to watch this trailer.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I think it's a great show.
And I got to apologize. We are still recording. We are recording from our respected homes still. And sorry, George, your connection, you sound like you're a little bit slurred tonight.
Like slurred?
You've been drinking a little bit.
I had one too many drinks, guys. I'm sorry. The boozy shakes from Black Walnut's getting to me.
Is that what you had?
No.
Ours haven't even opened up back yet. We were trying to find a place to go eat during like last Friday maybe. And like our Black Walnut hasn't even opened yet. Sadness.
Ours completely is starting to ignore all rules and regulations at this point.
Really?
Yeah. They're just like, what's COVID? We don't know what that is.
Oh geez. Well. The other movie I watched was Project Power.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Project Power.
I wanted to see what it was about.
Power.
What's that? I'm sorry, you broke up.
It's Project Power.
Oh.
Like you're projecting.
Okay.
Never mind. It's a joke. Sorry.
It was an okay movie. I like Joseph Gordon-Levitt a lot.
Like him in this movie, that's for damn sure.
Didn't like him in what?
I didn't like him in this movie.
Oh, did you watch it?
Yeah, I saw it.
So I know you probably did not like it.
I thought it was okay at best. Like, I probably, if I had seen it in movie theaters, I probably would have been really upset that I paid $30-something. But movie theaters are a thing of the past, so.
Yeah, I would have been upset too. I mean, for a Netflix movie, I thought it was serviceable. You know, it was fine.
We got to demand more from Netflix. We got to demand better content.
Why?
Because it's terrible. The plot line was a mess. Nothing fucking made sense. It was just stupid.
But there was powers. There was superhero powers.
There were some cool displays of powers. Like the chameleon dude was cool.
Yeah. The fire guy was cool.
And yeah, I guess. Machine Gun Kelly, I guess. It's cool.
That's who it was?
Yeah, he's the rapper. The directors have worked with him in the past.
Okay.
They got to start on that Catfish movie off of MTV.
No idea.
Yeah, it's basically what made them famous. And they, like, I think Machine Gun Kelly is one of the director's cousin or something like that.
I know he was in that Motley Crue Netflix movie.
Oh, wow. He's really trying to expand his acting career.
He was Tommy Lee, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I heard that movie was terrible, too.
It's just like Motley Crue.
Barely serviceable with one arm.
Now, there's something that I really enjoyed this past week. It was an HBO series that started. Did you guys watch Lovecraft Country yet?
Oh, yeah. I've been reading the
book. Yes.
What's up, George? You haven't watched it yet, Dave?
I've been reading the book of the show.
There's a book? I did not know that. Is it Lovecraft?
It's a book that came out a couple years ago, and it's free on my library, so I read it on my phone. But I'm trying not to read too far ahead because I still want to be surprised from the show.
What did you think of it?
Oh, I thought it's amazing. I think it's a fantastic show, and it's a very solid pilot, and I can't wait to watch more.
The pilot was phenomenal. I like how they started off in that he had that dream sequence when he was fighting the Lovecraftian monsters and stuff. Yeah. I mean, straight away, you're just like, all right, this is what we're in for. And just the time of the show with all the we're sort of going through that again right now. It's all the segregation and it's the way they're just that kind of stuff. It was, and then, you know, super like supernatural elements that show up. Like, oh, here's some weird demon dogs. Like, this is pretty cool. I think Dave, you would really love this show.
Yeah, probably. I just haven't taken the time to watch it. I haven't really been watching a lot of TV.
Do you have access to
video
it?
Games? I think so.
Okay. Yeah, if you don't, I can get you access to it if you want. Think about it.
Jeff?
The only thing I've really been watching recently was while I've been working, I've been watching through It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I love that.
I was thinking about starting that.
Have you not watched it before?
No.
I haven't seen all of it. I've seen like the first few seasons, I think I've seen all the way through, and then I've seen like random seasons from that point on. But I started back over at the beginning and I'm just kind of working my way through. It's a great show. It's really funny. It's hard to tell you. What's that?
What season are you on now?
I think I'm still in the second season right now, which is all stuff I've seen before.
And that's the kind of show that I look for, that I'm trying to look for when I'm working so I can, I'm trying to get through the first season of The Umbrella Academy, but I can't do that while I'm working because it's something you have to really sort of pay attention to. But comedies like that, I could have it on while I'm working and, you know, still get the gist of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why I'm going through Arrested Development, all these other comedy shows. I think that might be next. I tried doing that with Archer and I got bored like halfway through the first season.
Because Archer is boring.
Yeah. I've not seen a lot of it, but I'm not really been that impressed with any of it that I have seen.
So maybe It's Sunny might be my next go-to. There's like 11 seasons?
Yeah, there's very little of that show. Like, even like the moments when they're not talking, like there's parts in that show that are just like them like scheming plans or like there's just a lot of little small details in the show. If you pay attention, you'll really catch up. So if you have time to watch it, I would say watch it like a regular show. But they're really short episodes. They're like 28 minutes each.
That's what I'm looking for, to something just to chomp through, you know?
Sure.
How many seasons are there?
15.
Oh, 15? Holy shit.
Really?
I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't realize there was that many.
Yeah, and it's still running, I'm pretty sure.
New seasons were supposed to come out, but I don't know if it's going to.
That's pretty daunting now.
Last season was probably one of the best ones I've seen, too. So,
what do you mean? You mean it's daunting to try to tackle 15 that much material?
Seasons, yeah.
Like George said, the episodes are short, and they move quick. And
yeah, that's true.
Like, it's not like every episode is – I mean, there are – arcing story things that happen, but every episode it's very episodic, and every episode has like a theme. It's like some wacky adventure that they
It's not like trying to get through 18 seasons of Supernatural, whatever it is.
No,
that's daunting. So,
but they do call back previous episodes.
There are
a lot of characters that come back through, but like. They tend to be fairly memorable, a lot of them. So it's not that big of a deal. Like I said, every episode it's just them like cooking up some insane scheme to get get away with something.
Yeah,
and they're horrible people. Like every one of them is like a horrible person, and they're always these like trying this opportunist shit, and. It's the fallout of that. So they're selfish, self-serving idiots who are always trying to get one up on the world. And so they end up.
Charlie has a heart of gold, damn it.
Charlie does have a heart of gold, but he's the stupidest one.
Not that's Charlie Day, or?
Yeah.
Yeah, his character on the show is also Charlie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah.
It's the three guys. They write that show together.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know Rob McElhenney.
McElhenney.
Yeah, he has a new show on Apple. Mythic Quest. I've seen a few episodes. I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah, well, I'm never going to watch or own Apple TV, so that's not going
to
happen.
Well, I had a free week at one point when I got a free week to watch the Beastie Boys documentary, so I watched a couple episodes of that.
Nice.
Yeah. Speaking of, Dave, you said you were playing some video games. Let's get into that.
Okay.
What have you been playing? Doom Eternal on super hard kick-your-ass mode?
Not yet. I started playing back through Doom 2016 before I did my next run through Doom Eternal. So after playing Doom Eternal, Doom 2016 is like a breeze.
Really?
Yeah. The Doom Eternal was significantly harder. And I kept thinking that while I was playing it, I was like, I remember Doom 2016 being pretty hard, mm-hmm. but I'm pretty sure this is quite a bit more difficult. So having just come off of Doom Eternal and going back to 2016, I'm like breezing through it. I'm like, oh, okay, no big deal. Gotcha.
I need to go back and replay that. It's been a long time.
But it's still fun, though. It doesn't decrease from the fun factor of it.
Isn't there some DLC they announced for Doom Eternal? Like single-player DLC?
There's a story DLC. I can't remember what they said the name of it was now.
Yeah.
I've forgotten already.
Speaking of, so I played the beta for the Avengers on the PlayStation 4. Okay. The game looks beautiful. It is fun to play. It does feel very repetitive so far, but a couple things I'm not liking so far is it's very Destiny-like in some areas. So there's like places you have to go to and just defeat enemies and build up your score and do raids or whatever they call it to get elements to build up and whatever. I'm not really digging that aspect of it because I don't really want that kind of...
Is it not a story-driven game?
There is a story in the game. There is a single-player element to the game, which is what I enjoy. The other part, to even build up your characters and all this kind of stuff, it feels like it's going to be a slog to get through. I don't know. I'm going to wait for some more reviews before I make a final decision. But the game looks amazing. It's so... But some of the characters don't feel like... They don't hit like they should feel, you know? Like, Thor doesn't really feel... You know when you play God of War, you could feel... You felt when he would hit somebody, you know what I mean? It doesn't have that... Didn't have that same factor to it.
Thor is not calling boy anyone.
No, he's not. He doesn't say boy any time in the game so far.
Well,
yet, maybe. You still playing Ghost of Tsushima?
I am playing Ghost of Tsushima. Yes, I'm only on Act 2, so
I've been playing a little bit more of it. Like I think I was telling you earlier, we finally got my old ass 5.1 surround sound hooked back up because we had, you know, work done in the house where we had to get, you know, painting done, and we had to take everything off the walls, and finally got it hooked back up, and I played that game in 5.1. Holy crap, man. It's pretty amazing.
Turned your life around.
It turned my life around. I've actually been playing in a couple of new Switch games. One of them is called Hunt Down. It's on sale right now. It's a 16-bit game. Imagine taking the elements from RoboCop, like a Dread game. It's a lot of fun. The premise of the game is you're going through, you're a bounty hunter, and you have to go through these different levels and shoot people. You get different weapons, and there's a boss at the end of each level. It's very old school, but it's a lot of fun. And the voice actor is the same guy that does Duke Nukem, I believe. So he's always throwing out one-liners. It's pretty great. If you like any of those style of old school arcade games, you know, it flows very well. Like the gameplay, it feels like, remember Metal Slug, that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It feels a lot like that too, but it's very old school in design. Some of the end bosses are fucking huge and difficult to play, but I'm having a blast playing it. I definitely recommend it. I think it's on other systems too. I just picked it up on the Switch. And the other game I'm playing is Double Kick Heroes. Have you guys heard about this yet?
No.
So this is a heavy metal based rhythm shooter game.
Yeah, it doesn't. It looks very Doom-like, doesn't it? Is it that one?
No.
There's another one that does. There's another heavy metal rhythm shooter game that does look like Doom.
Oh, really?
This one is not Doom. This was.
So the premise of this game: you're in a band, and all of a sudden a zombie apocalypse happens, and you get in your car, and you have to drive away from these demons and monsters and zombies and all these other kinds of like crazy things to the rhythm of certain of heavy metal songs, and it could get very difficult, seriously difficult. So the main story game, it's all songs written by these composers, and they are really good. I mean, you have everything from like post metal and black metal, some like guttural death metals in here. Like there's like 80s like glam metal in here, and it's all fun to play. But there's also a mode on here where there's licensed music. And there's bands like you know the band Gorod.
No,
kind of.
Gojira's in it. Gojira is in there. Yeah, they're probably the most well known band in the game. But it's a lot of fun. It's very difficult. I'm playing on like there's easy and there's rock. There's no soft rock, rock, heavy metal. There's like death metal and there's like one other one that's even more extreme. I'm playing on hard rock and it's difficult, but it's a lot of fun. If you're looking for a heavy metal based shooting game, rhythm game, look no further than, Double Kick Heroes.
The one I was thinking of was, Metal Hellsinger is the name of the one I was thinking of.
Oh yeah.
Of.
That one's not out yet, right?
I don't think it's out yet.
Yeah. I do remember hearing about that one.
It looks very much like Doom, but if Doom was a rhythm game.
I'd be down for that. That's pretty awesome. Very cool. That's all I've been playing. Then a little bit of Ghost of Tsushima. That's it.
Been playing, got back into Fallout 76.
Did you?
Which is my first time back into it since they have, they did the major expansion for it.
Yeah, I saw that major expansion. Does it make it better?
It does make it feel more like Fallout in that there are human NPCs now. Okay. Human NPCs and human enemies, because when the game launched, the only live people that you would interact with were other players.
Right.
All of your other human contact was done through like recordings and messages and, you know, that kind of thing. But they worked it into the story that basically settlers are coming back into Appalachia, and there's a story reason why there's no people in Appalachia to begin with. But now that's the story is that people are coming back in. So now you've got settlers and you've got raider groups and all that kind of stuff. So it feels a lot more like you think of a Fallout game playing.
Okay.
So I've been playing with my wife and our buddy Jeff. We always run together. And they've added a lot of content to it.
That's good. Because I remember when the game came out, they said they were going to still be working on it. It wasn't a complete game yet.
Oh, and like even from that point on, they were adding little things pretty regularly. And it seems like they've added a whole lot more, and they're continuing to add more content regularly. They do events regularly.
Oh yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
I know there's a good community for that game.
Pretty strong community. Of course all of the changes and developments are, contested within the community. But yeah, there's a lot more you can do with it now. We're having fun with it. So that's been cool. But then it also inspired me to go back and play more of Fallout 4, I'd only played a little bit of that one. There was a whole lot of Fallout 4 content that I never saw. Mm. Most of the main storyline I never saw. So I've gone back and I've started over on Fallout 4, and I'm legit going to try to see it through this time. It's a great game.
That's not New Vegas, is it? That was like an expansion, no. Or is that a separate standalone game?
New Vegas is a standalone game, okay. But it was made by a different developer.
Oh, I don't know.
And so that one is very controversial in the Fallout community too. Some people think it's the best one. A lot of people think it's garbage. Mm. I'm honestly kind of somewhere in the middle. I think it's fine. It's cool. In some ways, I feel like it's one of the weaker ones personally, but I think it's still fun to play.
I'm not a huge Fallout fan. Nothing's really ever like just drawn my attention 100%. I think the last one I did play was New Vegas. So maybe
that's not a great. If that was, especially if that's like the first one you play, yeah. not a great place.
I did play part of 76 when they had it free on a weekend. This is sort of after
also
it came out.
Also not a great place to start.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I do want to mention one other game that I just started playing. It's available now on Game Pass if you have it. The new Battletoads game came out.
Yeah, I saw you post about that. That looks awesome.
So I'm in the level 3. I've only played very, very little of it. I got to say, the writing is so funny in this game. They have the writing perfect. The third level is a damn hover bike level.
God damn it.
Yeah, but it's not side-scrolling. You're actually going up, but it's great. They give you the option. They're like, are you not able to get past this level? And it'll give you a little saying. If you push up on the D-pad, you'll get invincibility for a little bit. I'm like, okay, thank you. At least they're thinking about us, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the funniest and most well-written games I've played in a long time. It's so funny. The first level, I don't want to spoil it too much.
I just searched it.
Yeah.
And Polygon says Battletoads is an overcomplicated, obnoxious sequel.
Yeah. That's a good description. So at the end of the first level of the game, you sort of break out of the video game hell you've been trapped in for 26 years since the last game. And then the second level of the game is actually the three Battletoads having to work menial jobs to make ends meet.
Okay.
You're like, wait, what? What is going on here? It's crazy. And then the third level, you're on the hover bike. I'm like, all right, great.
I like the new art style, though. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. My only complaint about it is it's not online co-op. It's couch co-op only so far. I mean,
I don't play online with anybody.
Well, I mean, it would be fun if you could, you know.
Would it?
Yeah. You don't think so? Like, if I wanted to play the game with you wouldn't play with me?
I don't have the thing. I would have to buy the game. And what is it, like $40?
I don't know. I have it on Game Pass, so.
I don't have Game Pass. No, it's $20. Mm. I don't know. Maybe. I would have to see how good I am at the game.
You should get Game Pass, man. It's like $15 a month. It's worth it for sure.
I don't play my Xbox enough to get Game Pass.
Well, you would if you got all those free games.
Yeah, but I like looking at the game list. I don't know. It doesn't like there's nothing on the game list. I'm like, oh, man, I really want to play that.
What I'm liking about it, all the first party games that they've announced are going to be on Game Pass. So most of the Microsoft game studio stuff will be available for free on it. So if you think about it that way, it makes it worth it too, you know.
Sure. But
I do have a question for you, George, before we move on to our segment. We talked about movies a little bit. What do you think about the movie theaters opening back up?
I think it's a little too early. I understand why movie theaters feel like they need to open up, because they're going to go out of business if they don't, and yeah. I understand that. But me personally, who used to go to the movies 2-3 times a week,
yeah,
I think it's too early, and I don't think I also don't think there's a good way to be safe in a movie theater right now with a whole bunch of people who are not taking care of themselves or at least being thoughtful for the people around them.
I mean, like, if you go to a grocery store, you could sort of distance yourself and be careful and that kind of stuff. Get in there, get out, do what you need to do. But I agree with you on that. I personally know why they have to open. They have to. I'm personally not going to go for a while until I feel safe, no matter what movie it is, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be a while till I even go back. Like Tenet coming out really is kind of like making me want to go, but at the same time, I'm just going to be like, well, I guess I'll wait for it to be on VOD.
Yeah, I know. And you literally went like 2-3 times a week.
Yeah. I mean, there's an Alamo right down the highway from my house, so it's in close proximity, and Alamo's opening at the end of the next week, actually.
Yeah.
And you think they're trying to entice people to go.
Compared to other theaters, you think they'd be more safe?
I don't know, because they're saying they're going to enforce social distancing, but I don't see how that matters if you got people behind you who may possibly be sick. If you're not scanning people and testing people at the door and turning those people away, I don't know how you can control it.
Yeah, that's the only thing is you have to. I mean, there's no way. There's no quick test for COVID. I mean, you can test people's, you know, temperature or something like that, but I don't know. I don't know of any movie theaters that are doing that when you walk in.
Yeah, I don't know any either. And it's not like they've been very clear about what their plans on what they're going to do once you're in the movie theater, except the fact that they're gonna enforce social distancing and that people will have to wear their masks during the movie.
Yeah, I don't know if I can
eating. Which is the whole point. Like, everybody's going to be eating popcorn.
People are going to get a big ass jug of popcorn and eat the whole time and not ever have to wear their mask.
Well, there's going to be people who will do that out of spite even.
Yeah.
They're going to go and make sure they have something to eat the entire time just so they don't have to wear a mask ever.
Agreed.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know the right answer is the thing, I think.
I mean, I think they should give the option to go to the theater or rent it at home when it comes out, like we're doing with Bill and Ted next week. I'm definitely down to buy it, you know.
I already bought mine.
Yeah, I know. I looked into it today after you said that, after you were texting me that. I'm like, all right, because I'm not going to the theater to see it for sure.
No, I won't. But I was glad when they announced that last month that they were going to release it. And I knew it was going to happen because shit kept changing, and I guess they weren't sure if they're going to meet the deadline or not.
So what about Mulan, though, for $30?
Yeah, I don't know. I already pay for Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Is that what the pay gate is for Mulan?
Yeah, it's $29.99.
It's $29.99 plus tax. So in the end, you're going to end up paying like $35.
$32.46.
Oh.
I used to work in retail. I remember this shit.
There's not like a rent it for 3-day option.
There's no rental on it. You pay it once and it's attached to your Disney Plus account as long as you have Disney Plus, apparently.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's not even like you bought it and it's going to be on your Movies Anywhere or something. You can until you own it forever. It's attached to your Disney Plus. You know what I mean?
I'm going
to
tell you a secret.
Yeah.
And this is the thing: if you don't actually have the media, you don't own it.
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
You're just paying for the right to lease it, is basically what you're doing.
I agree on that.
But I really enjoy being virtual. It's less clutter now.
Yeah. I'm not going to go there, but I don't know. What do you think about this, Dave? Would you take your family back to the movies anytime soon?
Fuck no.
Okay.
Nope.
Yeah.
I will watch Bill and Ted in my living room, though.
Yeah.
I think until the FDA has approved of a vaccine and I'm starting to see people take the vaccine and not have any side effects, and then that will be the moment I'll go get the vaccine, and then I'll maybe consider going back to the movie theaters. But still then, it's kind of a crapshoot.
I mean, let's see the next movie, the New Mutants or a Black Widow is going to come out. I mean,
yeah, you got Tenet, you got Tenet. Black Widow. They got that Russell Crowe movie that's coming out where he has like road rage and he's trying to kill some lady.
So it's a documentary.
Yeah, I forget the name of the movie. I think it's called like Unhinged.
Unhinged. Yeah, it comes out this weekend.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Regal cinemas are opening up. Yeah. AMC is going to open up at the end of the month. So everyone is doing it. And here's the thing. Like, all it takes is just for one, like, one theater to have an outbreak or for a group of people to get sick. And then they're just going to shut it all down again.
That's the thing. And that's happening. That's going to happen across so many different vectors as well. There's going to be so many different places that are opening up. Then it's just me like, okay, we getting ready to shut all this back down again then? So, and I think that's going to be one of them. I think you're right.
Yep.
All right, guys. Let's move on. We have a topic I want to get to. So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the show. I wanted to get into this topic. We just had our 15-year anniversary episode of MSRcast, and we brought up this topic and talked about it a little bit because one of the guys on the show, my old co-host on that show, Kryptos, Papa Josh, has a band, and they have music on Spotify, and I wanted to get his opinion on it. But I had these guys read this article. It was basically talking about Spotify and then Bandcamp as well. And if you don't know, a few weeks ago, the CEO or whoever it was from Spotify made some comments about that bands need to release music more often so they can get paid. And then all these people, musicians came out and said, well, it doesn't matter because, you know, we get paid shit from Spotify. Kryptos told us that they have their EP on there. They've had it on there for almost a year and a half. They've made $6 off of it.
How many listeners have they had?
I don't know that.
Oh. Well, I don't know. I can't remember off the top of my head what the rate is, but like it's
really
low.
Yeah.
So like basically I'm sorry.
I thought it was like somewhere between like 4 cents for every listen.
Oh,
I think
it's less than that. You're talking fractions of a cent per stream. So basically you're only making money off, and this didn't come out in the last few weeks. This has long been established that unless you're a huge name who's already making money, you're not making money off of Spotify.
Metallica is going to make money off of it. Smaller bands not.
I really think it's the bands that are making money off of Spotify per se. This is just like a couple other articles I read. That were all, not on NPR. It was some other website. I can't remember right now, and I feel stupid for bringing this up now. But I read that really Spotify promotes record companies, people who own the record companies. They're the ones who make the most money out of it. So they're the ones who are pushing out for playlists and to be in a whole bunch of different type of playlists because that increase their chances of their song being played.
Right. And there's companies out there, like I think DistroKid is one of them, where you can pay to get your music on there type of stuff. But yeah, I think the bigger bands and the record labels are the ones making the money off of it for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to get millions and millions of plays to make any kind of money on it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So this isn't exactly the news. I mean, the CEO saying his thing about you can't expect to put out an album every 3 to 4 years and make money, which is stupid.
Uh-huh.
That's a dumb thing to say. But really, what this article in particular was about was the philosophy difference between a Spotify and a Bandcamp. And it was really dealing more heavily with Bandcamp. They interviewed the CEO of Bandcamp throughout, and there was a lot of hammering on Spotify that went on in there, justified. But to me, I felt like it was a really cool piece because Yeah, that to me it was like, yeah, these people are understanding it right. Now, I don't have a current band who has representation on either of these platforms or anything. So I'm only speaking as a consumer at this level, but like, it seems like Bandcamp, and this is what the interview also seemed to imply, is that their customers are the musicians.
Yeah.
Their clients are the bands and the artists. And so they're trying to make them happy.
That makes sense.
By letting them find their audience and letting their audience support them directly in the ways that the band wants to be supported.
Right, because once the band's on Bandcamp, yeah, once the band's on Bandcamp, it's up to the band to really start promoting themselves and making the money and making sales. Well,
but that's true. But one of the things that they talked about in the article as well is that in the last few years, they've added more discovery features to Bandcamp.
Okay.
And I use that.
Yeah, after reading the article, I downloaded the app just to see if it was true what they were saying. And it is a little bit more interesting, the fact that you can discover new bands. But even, like, I don't know. I took a long time to find anything that I want to listen to under the discovery thing, because a lot of it just sounded like crap.
Well,
to
I think it needs to learn your.
It needs to learn who you are first.
That's about to say that.
You have to kind of get on there and follow some stuff, because I can go to my discovery feed, and almost every time I go to my discovery feed, I find something cool that I never would have found otherwise. I found one last week. I found a technical death metal band from India that kicks ass.
What are they called? Remember?
Called Gutslit. Gutslit is the name. They're from India, and as far as like tech death, like old school tech death stuff, it's hooky and just mean, angry riffage. Good shit. Gutslit from India. Check them out on Bandcamp. But I found them just stumbling through the Bandcamp discovery recommendation stuff, and so I'm glad that's there, because a lot of the bands that are on there, I'm probably not going to find anywhere else.
Right. And Bandcamp recently has been on Fridays. I don't know if they've done it in the past couple weeks, but they've been giving 100% of all proceeds if you buy something back to the band. They're not taking any of their cut.
They're not taking their cut,
which is amazing. Bandcamp is different than Spotify in a way, because in a lot of ways, because once a band gets on there, it's not just a digital download. You can buy CDs and actual merch for them, vinyl, and the band will mail that to you. It's not just a digital only platform.
You can do that on Spotify as well, by the way. It's just that the portal is not done through Spotify. They just redirect you to somewhere else.
But this is all done through Bandcamp, though, which is very cool.
They let the artists have as much say and control over what product they want to put out, whether it's music product or merch or whatever. It's cool. And so because of that, you can, and again, this is the point, you can go on Bandcamp and feel like you're actually supporting the artist that you want to support. Whereas if I feel like I want to support a band that I listen to on Spotify, I have to, make bots that will spam their song on playlists.
Or you have to go to their website and buy a shirt or something, I understand all the negativity and all the bad stuff that's come out about Spotify. I still utilize it a lot.
I still use it.
I use it, as I said, I think we've talked about this before, as I used to do back in the 90s. I used to go into a record store and say, hey, I want to listen to this. And then they would open up the CD and play it for you.
They made that analogy in the article. The CEO from Bandcamp, because they were asking him, well, are you even a digital company? And he was like, not really.
Yeah, I can see that.
We're an online record store. Because I have that same feeling, when you think of it that way. Yeah, you used to go in and be like, hey, I want to check that out. And they'd open you a copy if they didn't have one open already. And you would put it in a player and listen to it and decide if you wanted to buy it. But similarly, I don't use Spotify for other reasons, and it's because it's tied to other services that I already pay for. I use what's now becoming YouTube Music. It was Google Music, and they're transitioning out of it now.
Are they really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, Google Music is going away, and they basically have made it. They're migrating everything from Google Music over into YouTube Music. So I was actually able at the push of a button to like import all of my playlists and library and all that stuff into YouTube
Music. So what is that? What is YouTube Music? Is it just on? So I know
it's the same thing. It's the same thing. It is.
Is there more videos involved though?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's actually kind of cool. Cause like you can be playing an album and there's like a little, like, bottom of the screen window shade that you can pull up, and if they have it, like, you can pull that window shade up and it'll show you what's coming up on the playlist, but then you can swipe over and it'll show you the lyrics for the song that's playing. Or you can click a button, and if there's a music video for it, it'll play the music video instead of playing the track on the album, and then it'll pick right back up in the album and keep going.
That is sort of cool, it's
kind of cool. You know, I will say this. I'm using it on Android. My wife is using it on iPhone, and there's a feature on it, quote unquote, air quotes, a feature that, you, I guess, currently can't turn off on the iPhone, which is kind of annoying, which is whenever it reaches the end of a play queue, whether you're listening to an album or a playlist or whatever, if you reach the end of it, for me, there's a toggle switch, and I can tell it to autoplay, and it will just start playing related stuff based off of what was just playing. On the iPhone, you can't turn it off, apparently.
Okay.
Or at least not yet, or at least we haven't been able to find where it is. So that's one downside. But this is all getting in the weeds. But my point, though, is that I still use a streaming service that is a corollary to Spotify. And that is actually primarily how I listen to music. So I am very supportive of Bandcamp and their model and what they're doing, but it's not where I'm spending most of my music listening time, admittedly.
But you have purchased from them, haven't you?
Yeah.
Like I purchased physical stuff from them. So this leads me to what I really wanted to talk about is how do we support musicians and artists and people, creative types, during this time right now when there's no concerts going on. There's, we talked about earlier, movie theaters are just opening back up. How do you support local filmmakers? How do you support all these creative types during this pandemic?
Ask them. See what they're saying.
Yeah.
Honestly. Because a lot of them have ideas about that. So, I mean, I get that this is a more general question, and that's a legitimate general question. But honestly, on a practical level, if you've got artists that you're interested in and want to make sure you're supporting, go find out what they're saying about how they can be supported right now. Because they're probably talking about it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'm saying this as a creative who's trying to stay afloat in the middle of all of this shit when all of my venues are gone.
That's why I wanted to ask you. So I know you're selling prints and all this kind of stuff right now too, right?
Yeah. And I'm working on some other stuff that I'll be hopefully offering within the next week, some other merch options as well. Yeah.
Very cool. What do you think about that, George? How do we support musicians, artists, filmmakers, everybody during this time?
If you don't have their stuff already, buy their stuff if you really like it or if it doesn't like financially hurt you. And if you can't afford to buy their stuff, share it. Yeah. You know, spread the word about their stuff. You know,
that was the other thing I was going to say. Like, absolutely.
Be their number one supporter and tell people about them. Share it places where you think it's appropriate to share and, you know, get the word out there.
That was the other thing that I was going to say is calls to action that are free.
Yeah.
Do them. They help. I did one. You guys helped me out. I did one last week. And a lot of people, and I don't tend to do calls for action because I don't like feeling like I'm putting that on people.
Right.
But I did it and people responded and I got a really great response.
Good.
So, these calls to actions that like when you're independent creators are saying, hey, please like and please share. Likes are fine. Share shit.
Yeah.
Share shit.
People don't really look or like, for example, I'm a big, like, I participate a lot on a lot of things on Reddit. So I share a lot of my stuff on Reddit, my friends' stuff on Reddit. Things that I enjoy, I will comment on and I'll make sure to, you know, ask people about it.
Yeah.
Mainly that's, to me, that's worth more its weight in gold than buying my stuff. Bringing two or three fans upon to like my stuff or my friend's stuff.
Yeah,
I think that means way more than just one person buying my stuff.
If you're look for specialized Facebook groups, things like that, Instagram is really good for it. So share. Yeah, I totally agree. If you, sharing is caring, as they said. if you can't, like, and what George said, if you can't afford it right now to help to support your favorite artist or whoever with monetary value, you can still help support in this way, too.
And you know, another thing I think is really great during this time is that, like, the communication between people who buy art or music and stuff like that have instant open communication to the people who produce that stuff. And if the artists are not giving the people who like their stuff what they want, ask them to make something. Like, open communication is everything. Don't be afraid. We're human and, you know, we make art. Just because we do something different than you do on a daily basis doesn't mean you can't talk to us and ask us. And, you know,
you'll find that artists are whores when we have to be.
Exactly. Like, if you want something specific, I'm pretty sure Dave can draw you something specific.
That's right. And don't let this I mentioned it just during our pandemic that's going on right now. This should be something you do all the time. It shouldn't go away after, you know, this goes away next year or whenever it does. I can't predict the future.
This is new normal.
It might be. We don't know.
I keep getting a new Enslaved concert every month.
It's so true. Did you watch one yesterday?
Yeah.
It was so good.
It was good.
Okay.
What are y'all talking about? Do y'all pay for those? Or
no.
Are those
so Enslaved has been doing them for free. They're doing one per – they did one in July, one in August, and then one next month in September. So the first one in July
– they did one back in like April too.
Yeah, right when it started. So the 3 months one – the first one was like a greatest hit. It was like a fan picked. The one that was yesterday was they played Below the Lights in its entirety, which is like a 2003 album. And then the next one is going to be the new album that got postponed till the end of the year. I think October, November. Cool. So it's going to be that in its entirety. But this brings me, I've watched a lot of virtual concerts. I watched Vakken virtual.
I watched some of it.
There is some interesting choices they did. They did a lot of virtual sets, which was, it's sort of cool, but there was parts of it where it was like a little too much. There was like headbanging cows they created that was sort of funny.
I didn't see the headbanging cows. The fake audience of just like tiny little points of light I thought was funny.
And so the fake fire
about the virtual concerts, guys.
Yeah,
is that if the concerts were behind a paywall, would y'all pay to watch them?
Yes, I've done that. I've paid the first three Devin Townsend shows that he did. I paid for him. He has another one coming up next month, which was supposed to be, you know, he did that first part of the tour right before the pandemic. The second part was supposed to be later in the year, which was going to be all heavier stuff. And he's doing that in September. Like Samus, 6'6 Samus is going to be playing drums on that. And they're all doing it virtually away from each other. It's supposed to be amazing. But, there's a paywall for that, and I happily paid for them. It supports the artist. It supports Devin Townsend. It supports him. I appreciate the free stuff, you know, but if they're asking for, like, a donation to watch what they're doing, I've paid for the Insomnium show, the two of the Insomnium shows that they paid for. It's a way for them to earn something right now when they can't any other way. You know what I mean?
Most definitely.
And they do a lot of special edition shirts and things like that too. So if you can, and we're saying this only if you can afford to do it, support them. You know what I mean?
Word.
I'm excited for the Devin Townsend one for sure. Have you paid for any of the virtual concerts, George or Dave?
No, I haven't watched a single virtual concert.
As I may have mentioned, I am an artist during the pandemic, and my venues have been removed. Yeah. So I have not paid for any. No, I haven't.
But you've watched them, though. Yeah,
I've been watching them where I can. Yeah,
I've seen a lot of great bands from the comfort of my home. Like Green Carnation did one, and the Enslaved ones have been phenomenal. Enslaved have been so amazing because they're shot so well. They're shot like a film,
mm-hmm.
and they're so beautiful to watch.
The audio production is really good.
Audio is amazing
well.
Too. Yeah.
So you mentioned, I'm just going to throw this out here because I don't think we mentioned it, but you were talking about the virtual Vakken.
Yes.
The Blind Guardian set.
Yes.
Was unbelievable.
It was amazing.
So good. Easily the best thing from that whole 3 days of music was that.
Sabaton was pretty good too.
Sabaton was good, but they weren't
Blind Guardian though. There's a different level. I agree. Yeah, they and they kept on laughing. They're like, "What are we doing? There's like nobody here." Yeah. Yeah. It's a little awkward.
They were playing to like a crew of 15 people.
But it was cool though. The virtual stuff was cool. It was weird when Sabaton did their virtual set. Joachim would always run off stage, off to the side of stage. And when he would run off to the side of stage, he sort of disappeared.
Yeah.
It was like, where the fuck did he go? How did he know magic? He's like Job magic. Now from Arrested Development. I don't know. I don't remember any of the bands I saw on that. We watched Sabaton. We watched Blind Guardian for sure. Those are the only two that I remember, and I watched a bunch of them.
I watched
Was it Creator? I remember seeing Creator.
Yeah,
Long Distance Calling was cool.
I watched most of the Creator set as well, yeah. Long Distance Calling wasn't a live one. Theirs was re-airing.
Right. A re-airing of something they shot during the pandemic, though.
It was another, like, in-studio, like, faux stage.
And
there's not really audience here.
Yeah,
kind of deal.
But Vakken did show some previous recorded shows, like Iron Maiden and a couple other ones mm-hmm. that
I
were...
I watched the Iron Maiden repeat.
Yeah, there were repeats from, you know, years past. So there was crowds and things like that. So, I don't know, it's... I'm liking these virtual shows. I hope it's something that doesn't disappear when concerts do start happening again. You know what I mean?
I mean, you know it is, though, right? Like, because once people can start going into venues again and bands can start touring again, or any kind of artist or comedians or whatever can start doing venues again.
I know.
All the virtual stuff is going to come to a screeching halt.
But it's cool, though. It's nice to be able to...
It is great.
Lay back on your couch and watch a live concert.
I can't wait to go back to a real show, though.
I agree.
For real.
You know what, Dave? You can just put on some VR goggles.
And no, I can't.
You'll
no,
get
I
sick.
Can't. You know that's not true.
I don't say that because recently, like last weekend, I did like a little surprise mini date with Catherine. And we were both talking about how we want to go back to Disney World and Universal. So I looked up on all the rides that I could find that would be fun to watch via VR. And, yeah. You know, surprisingly enough, it's not 100% realism there, but, you know.
Do you have a V? What'd you watch it on?
I have like a little VR headset that you just slide your phone into.
Okay. I had that same feeling. I was playing Dreams on the PS4, that game where people make their own games. I'm like, oh, there's all these VR experiences on it now. So I pulled out my PSVR, started playing through it. People made walkthroughs, like they made digital versions of like the Haunted Mansion and Pirates and stuff. So let me down this like whole rabbit hole on YouTube. There's a YouTube VR channel that has nothing but VR ride throughs of Disney attractions and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's probably the same channel we've been watching.
It was really cool on the PSVR. It's really awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to say, like, we did it for about 2 hours. We only had one VR headset. So basically, when one person was wearing it, we had to make sure the other person wasn't going to run into anything in the house.
Why would you do that? That's the fun part of it.
Well, you know, I like my wife, Gary. That's probably.
Well, I was playing it. I think the last time I was playing my VR, my wife sat like right behind me on the couch and like started like trying to freak me out. As you would. But yeah, these virtual experiences is all we can do right now, you know?
It's the closest thing you can get without actually being there.
Yeah. But yeah. I just wanted to talk about that kind of stuff real quick and how everybody can support. Support your musicians, support comedians, like you said, support your artists, support anybody that's making a creative output out there. If you're, if you like somebody, you like our podcast, if you like somebody else's podcast, whatever, just share it right now. That's the best way to really help.
Most definitely.
Cool. I have a song picked out for George Hates Metal.
Okay. Oh, no.
And I have not told you guys about it yet. So let's get into that. And that was Mr. Bungle. The song was called
Raping Your Mind.
Thank you. That is from the upcoming The Raging Wrath of the Easter Bunny demo re-recording, re-release. Do you guys know anything about Mr. Bungle?
Nope. This is the first time I've heard of him.
I have heard of them forever, but this is literally the first thing I've ever listened to
from them. So this is very different than anything they've ever really put out before. Mr. Bungle features Trevor Dunn, Trace Bruance, and the vocalist is Mike Patton from Face No More. This is his main side project he's been doing since like the late 80s. And the new album just happens to feature Scott Ian of Anthrax playing guitar and Dave Lombardo on drums.
That would probably explain why the drums were so good.
Yep. And you can definitely hear Scott Ian's riffage on this track for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what they've done is they've re-recorded like one of the early demos that Mr. Bungle put out like in the 80s, like when they were still in high school. And they re-recorded it. They did a couple cover songs. They actually do the SOD cover song, Habla Español o Muero. So speak English, speak Spanish or die. Which is the SOD song, you know, Speak English or Die. So, let's start with you, George. What did you sing?
I think it started out really strong, and then the dude started singing, and
oh, I can't hear you anymore. You're breaking up. Sorry.
Hello? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. Well, like I was saying, I wasn't a big fan of the dude's vocals, but after a while, it is a six-minute song after all, so you kind of get used to it, I guess, sort of, but not really. But the music in the background, like the actual band playing, is really...
That's Mike Patton vocals, you know, from Face No More. He is very versatile in his vocal delivery on everything. So this is one of his different styles. What did you think of it, Dave?
Color me not a fan of that style.
In my wheelhouse, this sounds like something that I would listen to. So, yeah, it was fun thrash metal shit. So,
So,
yeah, most definitely. Like, I would, if it came across my Spotify, which it did, and I didn't realize that I have already liked this song before you mentioned it to me. Yeah. I just forgot that I've liked it already. I don't know. Like, it's fun to listen to, but I wouldn't be like, oh man, I need to hear more songs of this band back to back. I'd probably listen to like a shuffle.
Go back. Do me a favor. Go back into some of their earlier albums. They put an album out in 91 called self-titled Mr. Bungle. It's very different. It's sort of avant-garde, jazzy, metal, sort of like circus music. That's the best way to describe it. It's a little over the place.
This is why I've never actually taken the time to listen to Mr. Bungle before, is because every time I read about what Mr. Bungle is, I'm like, I have no, like, I never know, and that's great, that's fine, but it's never compelled me to then follow through and listen. I've always gone somewhere else, so thanks.
Did I help you, or did not help
thanks.
You?
Yeah, no, it was good. Thanks for...
you ruined it for everybody, Carrie.
I'm sorry. I appreciate that. Dave, do you have any metal bands that have been tickling your geek that you want to talk about real quick? Anything new?
So it's not metal per se, but one I'm excited about. Album came out today. I haven't listened to it yet. When we get done here... I'm going to go sit on my back porch with a drink and have a listen. Bill Fisher, who is Brother Bill from Church of the Cosmic Skull, has released a solo album, which is his COVID quarantine project. And I'm very much looking forward to hearing it. I've heard a couple of the songs. I haven't listened to... I subscribed to his email, and so... I had access to listen to all of the songs kind of piece by piece over the last week. I've listened to a few of them, but I kind of wanted to have the full, like, sit down and listen to it straight through experience.
Do you know the name of the album?
It's called Mass Hypnosis and the Dark Triad.
Oh, so, found it. I'll put it on my listen list.
So if you don't know Church of the Cosmic Skull, I introduced Carrie to them back in December, I think. They were one of my top albums from last year. But they sound like if a bunch of if some hard rockers in the 1970s joined a hippie commune and then were doing like hippie light and love music, but with like a hard rock twinge. That's basically what they sound like. And they do their whole like shtick is that they are a cult. They have like a short YouTube series, like a video series on YouTube that really plays into this whole, like, they're a wacky hippie cult thing, and they're pretty funny. So the whole thing is very like tongue in cheek, but I would join their cult.
Nice.
I love what they're all about. And I think that Bill Fisher is a really good songwriter. He had a doom metal band prior to this called Mammoth Wing, I think was the name of them. I checked him out one time. It's pretty good stuff. Hmm. But his songwriting on this is very cool. It's very kind of a lot of it's quite poppy, but it's really well done.
Cool. I mean, I like that kind of stuff, so.
Kind of hard rock stuff. Yeah, that kind of retro.
Yeah.
It's a little bit Beatles, a little bit,
You had me at Beatles.
That the solo album of his, he was describing it as a mix between Rush and 90s doom metal.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
That's his words.
That's up my alley right there.
Yeah. So he's, I say like it's poppy. It's very proggy poppy.
Okay.
Like he does a lot of stuff, layering melodies, and I think he's a great songwriter. So I'm really looking forward to hearing this.
What about you, George? Do you have anything that's any music right now that's really tickling your geek?
New music? No, I haven't listened to anything super new in a while. I can go look at my liked list really quick and let and tell you there.
Yeah, let's do that. I have a couple I want to talk about real quick. today the 30th anniversary release of Anthrax Persistence of Time came out. I listened to a little bit of the bonus stuff on Spotify. I'm waiting for my physical version to come in. There's actually demo recordings of almost all the songs from the album with Scott Ian singing. He's not a great singer.
Scott Ian's not a great singer.
No, he's not. Especially when there's songs created for Joey Belladonna. But yeah, it's fun. What else is there that I've been listening to? This band called, I think Justin introduced me to this band, Night, N-I-T-E.
That album's great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Darkness, cool Silence, shit. Mirror, Flame. It's a really killer album.
I called it New Wave of Blackened Heavy Metal.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Because it sounds like New Wave of British Heavy Metal if it was black metal. Like,
yes,
totally. With a black metal twist to it.
Totally, yeah. Man. That's exactly right. That's great. And the other one I wanted to talk about is, I got to pull this up, was two of them. There's a band I think, George, you might like called Hail Spirit Noir.
Mm-hmm.
There's parts of them that are comparable to Bortnagar, but they're very lo-fi type retro sounding in a way, mm-hmm, too. I think you would dig them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gary, did you happen to watch? I posted a music video from Bill Fisher the other day.
I saw you post it. I didn't get a chance to watch it yet,
though. Okay. It's interesting because this whole project is like a quarantine project for him. So he did the whole music video by himself too, and it's a single single shot of him, and it's the video is backwards.
Oh yeah.
So everything in the video it's played in reverse basically. Yeah. So, but he learned how to sing the song backwards, essentially.
Wow.
Like with his mouth. Like, yeah. He's not actually singing it backwards, but he's making the mouth shapes for the song
to fit the music, yeah.
So that when the video plays, it actually is a pretty good facsimile of him actually singing the song.
Nice.
But then everything that's going on around him is happening backwards.
I'll have to watch that.
It's not like it's nothing that hadn't been done before, but it's a really cool, like, he just did this on his own kind of project. Pretty cool little homemade music video as far as that goes.
There's two more albums I wanted to quickly mention. Black Crown Initiate, who I've been a fan of for a while. They just put an album out last week called Violent Portraits of Doomed Escape. It's a pretty fucking killer death metal, progressive death metal, because there's all kinds of different genres and styles on here.
And, yeah, they're pretty versatile.
Yeah, very, very much so. And there's a band called War Kings, which is, I believe, the singer from Serenity that, power. They're sort of power metal band, the progressive power metal band. But War Kings is stripped down power metal a la Hammerfall.
It was pretty fun. I listened to it.
Yeah.
It kind of wore out its welcome for me towards the end. It started getting to be too much of the same.
Yeah,
but
I can see that.
But it certainly starts out really strong and is a lot of fun to listen to.
Yeah, and it's one of those bands that everybody's sort of like in mystery. You're not supposed to really know who they are.
Okay.
So it's one of those type of things. This is the second album, and it's quite fun. It's one of those. Yeah, I can see at the end, by the end of the album, you might get annoyed of it.
Well, and it's all like historic battles and
yes.
That kind of
like
thing.
That Sparta song, which is pretty catchy though.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like Hammerfall, if you can't sit through a whole Hammerfall album, I don't know if you're going to get through this, but but it's good on a playlist if you want that.
Mm-hmm.
George,
yeah, definitely, yeah.
Were you able to pull anything up? What's been?
I mean, like I said, I don't really have anything new that I've recently listened to. I recently came across this band called Bitter Pill. They are a how do I explain them? They are a folky, they're a folky music that sings about goth stuff.
Okay, so goth folky.
Okay. Yeah, they're like a rhythm bluegrass goth band. It's a father and daughter band. And the song that I came across them was Too Many Vampires. So if you got some time.
I am checking this out. This sounds right up my alley. And their album cover is a shot from The Head That Wouldn't Die. So, yeah.
They're called Bitter Pill?
Bitter Pill.
Yeah, Bitter Pill.
What's the name of the... Oh, I see it.
And the name of the song that I first heard was Too Many Vampires. They have a couple other good songs on there. Not all of them are great, but I don't know. They're interesting enough to keep listening to.
Okay. Do you guys want to get into your what's tickling your geek, and we could wrap up the episode?
I did mine already, so.
What was yours?
Mine was the Bill Fisher album.
Okay. There you go. What about you, George?
I mean, besides the obvious with Bill and Ted coming out next week, I really don't have anything like super crazy other than the fact that I don't have to work this weekend, which is awesome because I've been working every weekend this month.
What are you going to do?
Not work is what I'm going to do.
We are waiting on – personally, we're waiting on a mattress because we're putting together our guest room again because we had a leak a couple years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. We never replaced our bed, so we put together a bed frame from IKEA the other night, and that's like
how'd that go? You were dreading that.
That was a lesson in frustration. It wasn't that bad, truthfully. I've put together more difficult IKEA furniture than that bed frame, truthfully. It was actually pretty simple considering. We're just waiting on a mattress to come in tomorrow. It's one of those. Nice.
What is it, a headboard, a footboard, and the two sides, and then the thing that goes in the middle?
That's correct. Yeah.
Pretty easy to go put together.
Yeah, there's, you know, IKEA likes to make it difficult sometimes. we're waiting on it's one of those bed-in-a-box type things to come in tomorrow from Amazon, so we can have we're trying to get that room together in case, you know, we have people that want to stay here one day. I don't remember the brand name.
Is it like a purple or something?
No,
like
it wasn't purple. It wasn't that expensive. We put a limit of what we wanted to spend because we're not really going to use it that much.
You're not going to sleep in your bed that much?
Well, it's in our guest room.
Oh, it's in your guest room.
Yeah. If it was the bed that we're sleeping on every night, yeah, definitely we'd spend more, but.
Got it. Yeah, I don't really have anything. I have a poster that's supposed to come in this Saturday, which is like the Star Wars Empire Strikes Back 20th anniversary poster. So I'm excited to hang that up.
Justin, our good friend Justin, was nice enough. Actually, as we're recording it today, it's his birthday. Justin from
– Happy birthday, Justin.
It is his birthday.
That's right.
Well, as we're recording. But who knows when you're listening to this.
So as of recording, it's his birthday. He got the other night during like 2 a.m. Shop Disney put the new Haunted Mansion Funko up there. It's the Victor Geist, who is the organist in the ballroom scene. You know that day, right?
Of course.
Yeah. So I never knew he really had a name, but of course you don't know their names until Funko makes Funko Pops of them. But yeah, he was nice enough and cool enough to stay up till like 2 a.m. and order that for me.
To be fair, he's just awake at that time. I was about to say
he's probably up at that time. So, but I appreciated it because I definitely wasn't. I do have one thing that's sort of tickling my geek, and I just got it in the mail yesterday. I think I showed this guy to you a little bit earlier. It's the deluxe edition of Devin Townsend Impasse, the album that came out in 2018. This is an amazing media book version. A lot of photos and just a lot of stuff I've never seen before in here. But the cool thing about it comes with two Blu-rays in here. The first one is the Impasse 5.1 remix that he was working on this during when the pandemic started. So it has music video and visualizations of every single song on the album. And then the other Blu-ray has a documentary, a commentary, a mixed lesson, and a full acoustic show, too, which is pretty cool. Yeah, I'm really excited for that. So, yeah, I finally got my 5.1 hooked back up. I was playing Ghost of Tsushima, and now I'm going to play Devin Townsend on it.
Nice.
Yeah.
What song are you most looking forward to hearing?
Maybe Genesis, because there's so much going on in that song. I don't know, Singularity, the last part, which is like that, the long part. It has like all the different songs on it.
Yeah.
But like I said, he was doing the virtual concert, but he's also announced the show that we saw right before the pandemic hit, coming out on Blu-ray soon too.
Cool.
So that's gonna be fun. That's Impasse Live Volume 1, and the virtual show is Volume 2, the heavier version. And they've already sort of like released a set list of it because it's sort of fan chosen. But if you go to his website, you can buy the shirt, and it has the set list on the back of the shirt. And there's plenty of Strapping Young Lad songs on it.
Nice.
Very cool.
I was glad that they played Love.
They did.
And that was great. I was glad to get to see him play because I never saw Strapping Young Lad. And that was my first time to see Devin Townsend in any capacity live.
Well, yeah, that's right.
And so it was cool. I'm glad that I got one Strapping Young Lad song.
Even though it's not as heavy as it is, normally is, but it's good, though.
That's still a pretty heavy song.
Yeah, for
it's
sure.
It's not like, oh my fucking God, heavy.
No.
But it's not that heavy.
And Love, I think, is one of my favorite music videos by any band because it basically recreates Evil Dead.
The Evil Dead cabin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So you watch Lovecraft Country, right?
Yes.
So tell me, please tell me that you didn't think this. When they're running into the cabin at the end of the episode, it looks identical to the Evil Dead cabin.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
Like, even to the point where they had a deer mounted on the head, just like the Evil Dead cabin.
That's right, they did, didn't they? And they pointed it out, too.
Yes, the camera stopped at it, and I was expecting the head to move. I was making an Evil Dead reference, and no one else is understanding me right now.
They might. You never know. I mean, yeah, I'm looking forward to that show. It's
So that's another thing that's tickling my geek is episode 2 is coming out.
Yep. We just finished speaking of going off tangent real quick, me and my wife were watching Perry Mason together.
I haven't watched that yet.
So it was fun. It's interesting because it's one of those shows where the audience knows who the killer is, like sort of halfway through the show.
Mm-hmm.
So it sort of turned into more of a,
like a thriller.
Yeah. Well, it turned from like a police procedural show set in the 30s to more of, now they're in court talking about it for the rest of the season.
Well, you know, Perry Mason's a lawyer.
I do know that. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm just making sure.
I knew that. Yes, I did. So it's sort of like the first season was like how he became the lawyer. You know what I mean?
It's really interesting that they've made a whole series out of that Ozzy Osbourne song.
God damn it, dude. Every time that song would pop in my head every time it came on, I'm like, can they play it just like once?
People on Twitter are saying that the new Perry Mason show on HBO is like the Batman Begins of Perry Mason.
Yes. The actor who plays Perry Mason, I don't remember his name now, but he was in the...
That showed The Americans.
Yes, which I have never seen The Americans, but he was in the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood show.
Yeah, he's in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played the reporter.
He's really good. And then the Shea Whigham guy, he's on that show. He's like this Irish actor. He's been in a lot of stuff. You'd recognize him right away, but...
If you haven't seen The Americans, Carrie, that's another show I would recommend watching. Yeah, it's a pretty good show.
Speaking of, you know what I did watch? One of them featured Shea Whigham. I watched Eastbound and Down.
That's a great show.
And I watched Vice Principals in the same week.
Oh, man, good for you.
I have become such a fan of his writing and his comedy style now.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't like the Gemstone one.
We like that show.
I didn't like that one as much as I liked Vice Principals. Vice Principals had like a sharp wit to it that Gemstones didn't have.
I fucking love Walton Goggins, dude.
Yeah, he's so good. Show.
There's a show that he is on TBS called The Unicorn. I don't know if you've watched it. It's more of a
I don't watch sitcoms.
It's not set up like a sitcom, but it's pretty good though. He's really good in it. It's not a typical, you know, two camera sitcom show. It's filmed like, you know, three camera styles and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. I like that show a lot.
You have HBO, right? So you must if you watch Perry Mason.
We just found out that through our AT&T, our cell phone, that we get it for free now.
Oh, cool.
So
So I don't know if you noticed, but the a lot of the DC Universe shows are now porting over to HBO slowly.
Okay, so I watched Doom Patrol 1 and 2, season 1 and 2.
I haven't finished 2. I finished 1. I thought it was great.
Season 2 is not as good as 1, for sure.
I just started season 2. It's pretty good so far. I just started watching the Harley Quinn animated show.
I've heard about it. So I've heard it's funny.
I don't like Harley Quinn.
Me either.
Like, I've never been a huge Harley Quinn fan.
I fell asleep during the movie the other night on HBO.
I just didn't even watch the Birds of Prey movie because I knew I wasn't going to like it. But anyway, to talk about the Harley Quinn show, is pretty fucking brilliant because they basically steal the format that Venture Brothers has spent like 5 seasons creating and perfecting.
I love Venture Brothers.
Yeah, so basically they just like aped off the villain aspect of Venture Brothers and applied it to all the DC villain characters.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So it's very violent, very graphic. They curse a lot, and it's very funny. I don't even think Harley Quinn's the best character. I think King Shark and Clayface.
Oh, really?
Are the best team up people ever.
Okay, I'll give it a shot.
It really makes fun of the DC universe a lot. Like Bane's always all the character animations are dressed up as the animated Paul Dini show.
Yeah.
Like the Bruce Timm, Paul Dini animated series.
Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah, so it has that that going for it. But their personalities, sometimes they'll pull personalities from them. From like Bane has the personality of Bane from the Christopher Nolan movies.
Mm.
So he's doing the voice, but he sounds dumber.
Okay. So it's like a Deadpool cartoon, right?
I would say it's smarter than Deadpool. That's just my opinion.
And like we said earlier, opinions don't matter.
My opinion matters because it's always...
They haven't moved Titans or Teen Titans over there yet, have they?
No, and even if they did, I wouldn't watch it anyway. The only thing from DC Universe that I really want to watch, and I almost bought it, but I'm glad I didn't, was the Swamp Thing show because it got canceled. That's the only reason why I didn't buy it.
Apparently, as they're recording this... this weekend is a big DC, whatever. They're going to be announcing a bunch of new DC things.
Is there a DC Comic Con that they're doing?
It's sort of like a virtual DC thing where I think they've already sort of shown the logo and like what the Batman's going to look like.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
It's pretty exciting. They're also going to be doing like live streaming events with like Jim Lee and other artists.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have some people from the movies show up and they're going to do like Q&As and stuff like that.
It's interesting though. They're cool that they're doing something like that.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of interesting that they're doing it like it's like a 2-3 day event, but like 24/7.
Oh, is it that long? Really?
Yeah.
Is it streaming on YouTube? Do you know?
I don't know. I think you have to host it from their website.
Mm. Okay.
But very I know cool. They partnered with YouTube, so it might be on YouTube.
All right. Well, I think that's about it for the night. I'm getting tired. What about you guys?
I never get tired.
Dave's getting bored.
I've already left.
I think Dave's playing like a game on his phone or something. I don't know what he's doing. Are you playing that the Disney Emoji Blitz again?
I've been playing it a lot more recently. Yeah, I finally got the fucking Hatbox Ghost.
I know. I am so fucking jealous of that. If I hadn't lost my complete save game, I would have probably continued on in that game. But I've been playing the Disney Arena game every day. I'm like halfway through all the characters, but what's sort of annoying is of opening up all the characters. Some of them are behind special event walls that you can't even pay for. It's like you have to wait for that special event to come around again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Emoji Blitz is kind of the same way. There's some of the characters you can only get during events.
So what is a Hatbox Go special? What is the special power?
It floats ghosts up the... It's one of those that moves the other Hatbox emojis up the board so that they all kind of match up.
Okay.
Using its ghost powers.
Damn it. I'm jealous now. Damn it. All right. On that note, let's wrap it up. Thanks for tuning in to episode number 184 of the Metal Geeks Podcast. Of course, you can find us at metalgeekspodcast.com. And behind the scenes, I have been working on updating the website recently, trying to get a new design, make it more user-friendly, all this kind of cool stuff. As well, I am working on some cool stuff with MSRcast right now, since we just celebrated our 15-year anniversary, trying to get all the old episodes of that show back onto our feed, which I think is going to happen pretty soon. So if you ever want to hear what I sounded like doing a podcast 15 years ago, you might have your chance soon, because I don't want to listen to it. It's pretty bad. Of course, you can download us on all your favorite podcatchers. We're also available on Spotify that we talked about earlier. We're on Apple Music. We're on Stitcher. We're on Google Play. We're on every place where you can actually download podcasts. Just search for Metal Geeks or MSRcast. You can find us on the social medias, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all at Metal Geeks. And please do us a favor. Come join our new Metal Geek Society over on Facebook. It's a Facebook group we started. We've been having a lot of fun sharing stuff and talking geeky stuff and talking about metal bands and things like that. So if you're a fan of the show, come join us there and join in the fun.
Also, don't forget to check out ESONetwork.com. That's where all the cool podcasts that make up the ESO Network are. You can subscribe to the feed there. Website was just redesigned. If you go to the Metal Geeks page on the website, you might see our smiling faces even. Yep.
Where can people find you, Dave?
Look for Red Viking Dave. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and I have a Facebook page for that as well. And you can see what I'm drawing and occasional slice of life shit. It used to be like, you know, concert photos and stuff like that, but that doesn't really happen anymore.
Haven't happened in a while. And George, where can people find your endeavors?
You can find me on all the social medias at George Tripsis. And Justin and I are trying to slowly churn the comic book making machine again, now that work is kind of slowing down for me and I have time, and he's seemingly to have more time as well. So go check out our comics, especially if you like Lovecraft's Country. A lot of the themes in that show really are similar to our comic, which annoys me but also excites me at the same time.
If you're gonna steal,
ripping them off, George,
if you're gonna steal from the best, right?
Well, I guess. I mean, I didn't steal. I wrote this back in college, so...
No, they stole from you. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Well, I mean, they made it more elegant than I did, I'm sure. Anyway, go to Great Bear Comics. It's G-R-A-Y, and our comic book is Speak No Evil. We're going to try to push out a trade paperback, at least try to do a Kickstarter for the trade paperback by the end of this year or the beginning of early next year.
Very cool. Well, thank you guys for hanging out with us on this episode. And as always, I have one last thing to say.
Keep it metal.
And
always keep it geeky.
That's right. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net.
I'm Brittany Vitrino.
And I'm Martha Bartlett. We've been nerds since day one, and we love to talk.
And now we're your hosts of But First, let's Talk Nerdy.
Come listen if you like anything from comics, anime, video games, sci-fi, and even history.
Just sit back, relax, even join us with a drink in hand, because we'll have one in ours too, and come talk nerdy with us every Tuesday.
We are now a proud member of the ESO Network, and you can download wherever you like to listen.
See you next Tuesday.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.